Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast, episode 96. We are finally back after a few weeks off, almost a month, actually. I've sorted out my technical difficulties. I'm back on the mic. My name is Melissa Spence. Welcome. And I'm here with Sutta Kollinglast. Hello, Sutta.
Hello. How have you been, Melissa?
I have been so good. So good. I know last time I was like getting sick. Now I'm post sick. I am post my Canada trip to my home territory. And I'm just so happy to see your face again.
I know. It feels so good to be sitting with you again. Winnipeg has a really beautiful skyline at sunset. I really like that.
Yeah. That picture I posted was actually sunrise just before I jumped on the plane back here.
Even better. Even better. Mm-hmm. I think those are more special because nobody wants to get up.
Yeah. There was like nobody around. So it was really cool. I go to this place called Garbage Hill, which is an old garbage hill, and you can see the entire city from that. And it's right by the airport. So that was my goodbye to Treaty One territory. And then I jumped on a plane, hopped over to Edmonton, and then hopped back down here to Vegas. So I am back.
Oh, Edmonton. I love Edmonton. If you haven't been, you should go experience. It's like the biggest city that pops out of nowhere in the middle of nowhere.
I think I was there in the early 2000s for a concert. See how my memory is like, I think I was there. I definitely went for a concert, but I have no real recollection because I went there in the winter and I didn't really see a whole lot. It was just kind of like going to my friend's apartment, go to the concert, come back to my friend's apartment because it was just so cold. But that's where I saw like lightning in wintertime.
Wow. Ooh, that's special. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times because it's only 4 or 5 hours, maybe six, I don't know, from Standoff in southern Alberta. And I usually go in the wintertime because Mall of America, it's not Mall of America, it's like, I can't remember the biggest mall.
Yeah. West Edmonton Mall.
Yes. It's huge. It's got a hotel and water park and water, like a theme park, rides. And so I've always a hockey rink. Holy cow. This is a huge mall. So I always go there in the wintertime to just walk around.
It's got a huge roller coaster too. That goes like right to the ceiling. Cause I've been on that as a kid.
Mm-hmm. And then somewhere close to Edmonton is a national bison range of some kind. Ooh. And I camped there before and I didn't realize that the campsites were like amongst the buffalo. And so I woke up to snorting and hoof stomps the next morning, which was really freaking cool. I loved that and was a little scared, but I think that the buffalo are really scared of, you know, our ancestors were able to hide behind small bushes and like just a tumbleweed and a 3 foot rock or a 2 foot rock. Like the driveline rocks are really small. And so I think bison really avoid things. And the only danger I was in is if they made me a scratching post, I think the tent would go down. That's when I was a tent camper, fearless and childless.
Oh, I don't know if I can do it still to this day. I just saw this really cool ad for a pop-up tent that looks so easy to do. And I thought, but could I sleep in it though? It's cool during the day to hang out in, but like when it came to darkness and in the forest by myself, could I do it? I'd probably end up in the vehicle.
Yeah. I'm getting more chicken as I age. And so like my first camping experiences were car camping and my mom would throw our sleeping bags around a fire pit. And so I would sleep with my sisters and then my little brother around a fire, like an old cowboy under the stars, which was really cool. Tent camping and then a car camper as I traveled in my younger, I sound old, in my younger days.
Well, you don't look old, which is the most important thing.
Right. I don't feel old, although I am getting ready for a hike tomorrow and it's all I haven't packed my backpack yet, but it's all internal readiness that I'm doing now for hikes, which feels like old people stuff. I'm stretching, making sure that I'm like paying attention to any points in my body that are achy or aching. I'm hydrating, making sure I'm hydrated before I go out. All of these kinds of stuff I didn't do before when I was younger.
I would love to go on a hike with you, but I would have to prepare as well. Like, I've not been in shape for, you know, like a year since I started eating meat again, pretty much. So I think if I were to come to Missoula, which I hope to do in the first week of October, that I would have to do some training just to keep up with you, because it's been so long.
You can do training. I think the walking you've been doing is just fine. Like, I am not super buff. I just take a really long time. And so, like, I think that's the key, is you can go really far. You just have to start early enough and take enough breaks and bring enough snacks.
Yeah. That's my strategy, you know, like at my weight and my body type, I take baby steps, and I've gotten to the summit all with baby steps. So it is possible. And when I fractured my foot at the beginning of the pandemic, I remember the first time I made it to a summit, and I thought, I just took baby steps with a sore foot and I made it. Like, anybody could literally climb a mountain if you're able-bodied. You just have to take it slow and just go at your own pace. Don't try and like beat anybody. Like what I used to do, I used to get so, I used to feel insecure and people would pass me, but now I'm like, go ahead. I don't stress about it anymore.
It's not a race.
No.
I think a 99 or a 98-year-old man just reached the summit of Mount Rainier.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and he is like one of the oldest men to make it up the mountain. And he did have help. Like, he was a 90-year-old man, and there was a man holding his arm. But I think you can make it baby steps. You just prepare food, water, and the time it will take you to walk as slow as you need to go.
And no shame on breaks. Take as many breaks as you need. My first time climbing Piestewa, I took so many breaks, and I remember feeling so bad at first, but when I got to the top, I was like, I freaking did it. Yeah. And yeah, it took me double the time it would take somebody else, but I enjoyed the view, and it was like a first experience for me. So it was kind of a big deal.
That one meme of like, yeah, I never feel bad about my friends, because I've been there. It feels like I'm always there. You know, I'm not multiple times a year I'm out of shape, because I will just go home and be lazy, and then I have to get back into it. And like, oh shoot, I have a 6-mile hike next week, or oh shoot, I have 12 miles. And so I have to just like pace myself through it. But that one meme I shared is, you're going to suffer, but you're going to enjoy it, is what comes to mind. Like,
totally.
It'll be suffering, but it'll be good suffering.
So I went to Manitoba's little mountain. It's called Riding Mountain Park. And I don't know the exact elevation. I would have to Google it super quick, but you can see it from the surrounding area in the distance. So it is like a little mountain, but we went there with my aunt. We didn't actually do any camping. We stayed at a hotel because I was with my mom and my aunt, who's 70 years old now. So I was with two old ladies, and we're just cruising through, you know, our traditional territories. We visited 5 different lakes and just sat at each one and just took it all in, went for a little dip, and just enjoyed our company. But it was really like a trip in Canada where I went down memory lane. I went to my high school, my junior high school, my old neighborhoods, and I just like reflected on everything. And what I noticed the most was the growth of the trees in the neighborhood that I went to school in, because they were just these skinny little stick trees along the side of the road. And when I went back 2 days ago, they were canopied across the top of the road. So like 26 years later, the trees had grown into these massive oaks that were like canopying the road now. And I thought, wow, time is so crazy, because this is like a different landscape. But my school was still there. I still saw the first like big house party I went to, the old apartment I lived in with my parents, and the low income section of the neighborhood. And it was just a really great trip. I went back to the first town I lived in for my first radio job, which is a small town of 8,000. And it was like an AM station that I worked at for a year. And I went to my old apartment out there that's still there. And I was just like, how did I survive in this little town for 1 year? Wild. So I had a really good trip back to Canada. And I did, you know, see Camp Mercedes. They have moved on to the Canadian Human Rights Museum, which is at the Forks in Winnipeg. They moved from the landfill to that. But when I was there, there was World Police and Firefighter Games. It was like almost like an Olympics for cops and like firefighters, and they were protesting them because they want them to search the landfill. So I got to see like the protests firsthand in two different locations, and they're still camped there. The fire's still going every day. They're praying every day. They're gathering, and they're still trying to get the government to search the landfills because they are not. So update on Winnipeg, still, they're still fighting like every single day.
Amazing. And yeah, I don't know if we mentioned it in the last podcast recording, but Phoenix had a little girl go missing in the landfill, or her mother unalived her in when we first moved to Phoenix 9 or 10 years ago now. I think it was that long ago. But she went, her mother confessed and put her in the landfill, similar to these guys have confessed, right? Yeah, they're in there somewhere. There might be more possibly. But I think the city of Glendale, right near Phoenix, Arizona, put up nearly $1 million to help find this little girl. And the whole city was behind it. What's up with Winnipeg?
Right. Winnipeg has a strong anti-Indigenous hate script is what how I'm going to put it, because you can see it everywhere. And there are those who are with it, who are against, you know, the anti-Indigenous hate. But there are so many who are just fed up with the quote unquote Indian problem and all the issues that we have there, because it is such a high population and there are everywhere. And that was another thing that I noticed right away. It was just like so many natives everywhere. I thought, oh my goodness. So the city is just split pretty much, people who support the search landfill and then the people who don't because of, you know, financial whatevers they've talked themselves into. But yeah, there's examples all over the place of people searching landfills after multiple years have gone by. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But if it was their daughter,
right,
they would want that landfill.
It is specifically Indigenous people in the city of Winnipeg that are just treated like the absolute worst, unfortunately, you know.
Shame on Winnipeg.
Shame on Winnipeg. And like, even while I was there, I wasn't like, oh, I'm so glad to be back in Winnipeg. I wasn't. I was glad to see my family and I was glad to get out of this city because I could just feel the heaviness. There's just so much pain in the air, right? You could just see the MMIW presence was everywhere. There's people pushing so hard for it to acknowledge it. They even just launched a Manitoba license plate that's MMIW that has a red dress on it, because it's to really get it people to understand the severity and the complexity of the issue, and to get the government to do something instead of stalling. And it's a conservative government in power right now, so that's why it's the way it is.
Yeah. And I was looking for a red dress. There was somebody who, so my route from Missoula to Browning goes by Flathead Lake. And usually there's a red cutout dress on one of the corners by Big Fork, Montana, which always makes me feel really good, because there's Woody's Corner right there. And there they infamously chase away the Browning Blackfeet youth sports teams, follow us around the store and just ask us to leave. And so there, it's been in the newspaper, you know, multiple times, and it's a pretty well-known thing in the community. And so I avoid that place because I don't want to be treated subpar or like a criminal. And it's scary because that's also the area in the country where the white nationalist community is making calls out to relocate and have a life. And the problem with that is they're located between two reservations in Montana, where the only brown people to hate are Native communities. And I didn't see the red dress cutout near Big Fork. And I was kind of sad because, like, it feels like hostile territory. And that red dress was like a safety beacon, where if I had trouble on the road, I would know I'm not safe getting out of my vehicle and walking for help. But when that red dress was there, I would feel safe, like walking to find the owner of that house, because they understand a fear that I'm carrying with me that the average American woman doesn't carry with her, because they're not having this MMIW epidemic.
That's amazing. That's a great cultural symbol that we've talked about in our cultural humility trainings, about what symbolizes, you know, safety for you, and that a red dress.
Right.
I mean, if you saw a license plate grown on the highway and you saw a red dress license plate, I would feel so much better just being like, I can count on this person for some help, or at least some understanding right. of what's going on in this part of Turtle Island, because a lot of people don't or can't even acknowledge it or don't think it's yeah. real.
Well, we have, you know, and I think this is a good shameless plug. Like, I think we should have more city council members joining our cultural humility trainings. And we have one coming up in October because city councils set the precedence and set the vibe for the city that you're visiting or the city that you live in, and whether or not they're accommodating you and your people, or if they're making you, if they're othering you and making you, you know, problematic and rolling their eyes every time they need to accommodate or make a service equal. Because, right. you know, if you go to our cultural humility, or if you've ever been in there, there's equity, equanimity, and equality. And there's difference between those and which one you want. Like, what kind of city environment life are you providing for your people? And so if I was mayor and if I was on city council, I would make sure that all of the members of my city council had this training, because of the inherent biases that we carry with us. And because you can't have a city council facing cultural issues like Winnipeg is facing without addressing that big part of your community. It's just like a business. It's just like a company. You have to keep the environment of your city happy and accommodating to everybody. You know, do we have handicap accessible crosswalks at every major stop and not so major stop? Like, are those residents of our city accommodated? Do the Indigenous and Black communities, members of our community, feel safe and protected? Or do we have to be a certain level of brownness, you know, not too dark to be protected? Do we have to be pretty? Do we have to not look too native? You know, like, what stereotypes is your city council members, your lawyers, your judges, your public defenders, your officers, what biases are they holding, and how is that impacting their interaction with all of the members of your community? These all matter. So, you know, I would be a kind and gentle ruler if I was. You know,
me too. I would. Yeah, I think I would be. At the end of the day, kindness would be the value that I would show and model the most. But I would do it in a kind of, you know, ruthless way. Like, we have to do kindness. Kindness is the way.
We're going to be your neighbor, damn it.
Yeah, my trip to Winnipeg was good. It was 5 days. Was a lot, though. I was so ready to come back. So ready to come back to Vegas here, where I got a video of what the self-defense class looked like, because I was away when the first self-defense class went down with her 38 Roses and Fifth Sun Project, and it was packed.
That's awesome.
20 people attended, 2 instructors, and I have a video that I'm going to be sharing on our Instagram, which happens to be Indigenous Vision Media. So you'll see firsthand what the class looked like, all the people involved. They want to make it a monthly thing, and they're going to try and upgrade to a bigger venue so that they can have a projector on the wall to show the moves. And then everybody in the class can learn the moves. So I'm really excited on where this is going. This kind of also ties into the MMIW here in Vegas problem. So that's an update. Looks amazing. Looks like Indigenous Vision will hopefully be involved in that in the next coming months. And I hope to be at the next self-defense class, which I think is going down on the 18th of August, but I'll have to confirm that. So if you're in the Vegas area and you want free self-defense, all you do have to do is register. So I would say follow us if you're not on Instagram yet, because we'll definitely be sharing all the details, and follow Fifth Sun Project and her 38 Roses, because it looked amazing. And what a turnout. Like, they had to like turn people away because they could only fit 20. So the next one's going to be big as well.
Yeah. Well, and for those kind of events, even with 2 instructors, you don't want to get too packed, because you want each participant to have enough time with the instructor for the questions. And that's phenomenal. I just love it. Like, that's
the community coming together
for our own safety and for our own individual safety, and knowing that we have a group of women to fall back on in talking about this stuff. Like, yeah, there are points in our life where we need to be able to physically defend ourselves, possibly.
Yes. And then finally, I've been, I don't know if I've told you about this, but for the past, like, I don't know, 2 years, I've been just really wanting to go to a wedding. Like, I just thought, what's the happiest thing ever, and how much I love weddings. Oh, I love and then it. Like, weddings just are suddenly popping up out of nowhere. So I just visited my friend Jules, who was actually the one of our guests on the Métis show. I finally hung out with her, and she's fallen madly in love and is like talking wedding in the spring. No. I was like, wow.
No, wow. I just said, oh my wow. Oh my wow.
And you know what? This is going to sound crazy, but she told me it was like on site. She knew as soon as she met this person. She was
I knew it
was on site. And she said, that's never happened before, you know, and this is someone I've known for a long time and all of her relationships, but she has never said, like, she knew just on site. So maybe that is a testament to say it does really happen. So
that's so beautiful. I'm so happy for you, Jules. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. Oh. It hasn't officially been announced, but she is like in love. And it's the kind of like, they knew each other when they were like 18, and then they went their separate ways and he moved to a different city. Now he's back and they went on a date and she was just like, whoa, I'm in love. I could see myself marrying this person. So I might be going to a wedding in the spring.
Oh my goodness.
Crystal Lightning invited us to her wedding.
Yes. Oh, I want to go. I was just saying I need to go to the beach, and I wish I had a wedding to wear a beautiful dress to. And Crystal was like, hey, what you doing? And I'm like, dang it. I really want to go Cancun.
I think Cancun. Oh my goodness. I've been crunching the numbers. Like, as soon as she asked, I thought, oh my goodness, it's this like September long weekend. I was crunching numbers and I just don't think I can do it. You know, I just bought the car and like, I'm supposed to be financially mature now. I can't just, you know, blow $2,000 and go down to Cancun and live my best life, even though I really want to. And that's really what my heart says.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
It sounds like it's going to be a beautiful wedding. Like,
I love the love that Crystal and Henry have. It's just beautiful.
Yes. They're really inspiring.
They do have the energy and that chemistry, you know. I love it. I am so happy. Like, I just can't stop cheesing right now
because, I know you have because a really of
Jules'
big smile.
Situation. Like, love at first sight is just, that's making me so happy right now.
And like, we've talked like, she was so embarrassed to say that because she is just not that kind of girl.
I know. She's
that's
not.
Why when she said that, I was like, are you for real? Because we talk smack about dates all the time. And like, all when we're both in like dating mode, I'll be like, I knew right away it was a no, right away it was a no, right away. And like, she's like, it was a yes, Melissa. It was like, it was just this like, yes, this is happening and it's going to happen. So that's amazing. And then this morning I'm texting with my other friend from Phoenix that I worked with, and I'm like, hey, I just got a car, I can come visit you now, because she lives in between Phoenix and Vegas in the Mojave Desert somewhere. Yeah, she's like yeah, come visit, we just got engaged. And I'm like, another wedding.
Oh, that's my three. Oh, take me as your date.
So we'll see when Jesse's getting married. And I'm like, I have been manifesting weddings for the past 2 years because I just want to go to a party where it's a wedding and everybody's really happy and in love, right?
Yes. Celebrating love.
Love. Love is always in the air. And like, I try to keep that mentality, especially when I see people like moping over like, oh, I don't have a boyfriend. I'd be like, love is always in the air, my friend. Like,
it's funny.
Breathe it in.
I can't get too mopey. And I shared that Alicia Silverstone clip from Clueless because I get mopey. I'm like, oh, I'm cold. I want a boyfriend to cuddle. And then somebody is like, hey, and I'm like, ew, no.
Right? Ew, as if.
As if.
That is my story of my life right there.
I gotta quit complaining.
I know, it's just right. And then I just opened my Instagram before this podcast and it opened up to Dennis Rodman's wedding to himself. Back in 1996 when Dennis Rodman married himself, and I thought, oh my gosh, I should marry myself.
That's what I was thinking. So you know how we're gonna go rent a room at Trixie's Motel, and yes, we're gonna get these big beautiful gowns. So I've been looking for the shoes. I'm buying the shoes first because the shoes will inspire.
I was already looking at shoes too.
I want these boudoir ruffled hem satin with beads, and I can't, like, I know they exist somewhere, but I want them to be booty type, open toe, like kitten pump, you know, maybe 3 inches, 2 inches lowest, 2 inches, nice. 3 inches high, I'll do 3.5, but I want them to be booties, ruffled, V centered. I want them to have floral beadwork on them. Dang, I need to be a heel maker.
I was going to say, does that exist?
I don't know, but I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking everywhere. And when I find them, that's when I'll buy my robe.
Wow. Oh, yeah. We should go marry ourselves at Trixie Motel.
Yes. Because, yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for someone to like top my attention for me, or top my love for me, or make me feel like, oh, I thought I was loving myself, but dang,
right? Like, I thought my life was great, but this right. is like an accelerator.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. 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 So
our lives are great. Could they be greater? Who knows?
It's pretty hard to top. Like, I'm
stay tuned for episode right? X with the answer.
Thanks for checking out the Indigenous Vision podcast presented by Indigenous Vision. We are an educational nonprofit based out of Arizona and Montana, and this is our official podcast. This is just one of the projects that we do have going on. If you would like to explore more of what we do, visit our website, indigenousvision.org. You can also sign up for our cultural humility training that's coming up this October 17th. All are welcome to attend. Again, thank you for listening to the IV podcast.